This is Bible Truth for Living. Stand by for your hosts. Hello and welcome to Bible Truth for Living. I'm Bo Kauspin, your host for this podcast. Joining me today is Jeff McCrary. Welcome, Jeff.
Thanks for allowing me to be here.
We want to talk about a rather interesting idea from Scripture today. Some ideas that when we investigate the lives and the examples of people in Scripture, to stop and think about what those people's lives might have been like. And today we're going to start with the first couple. Jeff, we're going to go back to the garden with Adam and Eve. Two people who shared an experience unlike any other human beings have ever experienced. A lot of ways that was true, but obviously being the first two people that the Bible mentions as having been created, and for a period of time living in a state of paradise where there was no sin in the world, they're the only two people who have experienced that. And so the uniqueness of their circumstance, they might have some things to tell us with regard to happiness in life. We want to start by looking at a passage from Genesis chapter 2 that tells us what their life was like initially in the garden. In chapter 2 of Genesis, it's recorded with regard to their life in the garden that the Lord God, in verse 8, planted a garden in Eden in the east, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground the Lord made to spring up every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life was in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Initially it was just Adam, but as these verses describe, it was a paradise. It was a place where there was nothing bad. And what they might share with us with regard to that is the beauty of God's creation in its perfection. No death, no destruction, as was later caused by sin. Be an interesting conversation to have with Adam, what that might have been like.
What you would describe this as is a time and a circumstance of perfect happiness. And there's some components to this I think can teach us wonderful things today.
With regard to that, Jeff, I think it's also interesting to see that at the outset, after God created man in his image, Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26 tells us, that there was a relationship that God had with this individual. And by the time we get to chapter 3, it's two individuals. Mm-hmm. It's Adam and Eve. In chapter 3 and verse 8, we find the story of this. They, Adam and Eve, heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden of the cool of the day. They had a relationship with God before they chose to sin, had a relationship with God where they were in fellowship, where they could walk and talk with God.
That was an amazing thing. You know, a lot of people today think of religion and the pursuit of happiness as two very different things. We may even think of religion as detracting from our happiness or interfering with our happiness. Too often we hurry through activities that relate to God so that we can get on to the things that we really want to do, such as recreation or sports or something such as that. But when we're walking with God, it is a very special relationship with God, and that really is where we ought to find a great measure of our happiness. Adam and Eve teaches us that walking with God, having fellowship with God, is a very necessary component to happiness.
Another aspect of this that they would have shared initially that no other humans had shared at that point, and the beauty of the story told in chapter 2 of Genesis about the creation and then how woman was made from man, we find out that they had fellowship with other human beings. Adam was alone initially. In chapter 2 and verse 18, it's recorded that God said, "It's not good that man should be alone. I'll make him a helper fit for him." So God looked at the circumstance, and he looked at the entire creation, all the animal kingdom, everything, and there was fellowship. There was a male and female, a mate for each of the animals. But he looked at man, and there wasn't one. And God desired, in the goodness of this, for the happiness of man and woman, that there be two of them, or more than one. And so
To have each other.
The importance of us having companionship and fellowship with others in this world.
Most of us would agree that people are social creatures, and people are more important than things. But does our pursuit of happiness show that we care more about people than we do things? Let me tell you, it's a rare person who on his deathbed does not wish that he had spent more time working on quality relationships with other people and less time on money and things such as that.
Okay, Jeff, let's talk then more about what other things brought happiness to Adam and Eve. We've talked about the personal relationships. What other things in this environment?
Well, one thing is that the natural environment of God's creation, they were in contact with that. A lot of times today in urban cultures and urban circumstances, most of us have less and less contact with nature. But we need contact with nature. In the 111th Psalm in verse 2, it says, "Great are the works of the Lord. They are studied by all who delight in them." There's a primal joy that comes from being in touch with the environment. When we want to have a vista that really inspires us, it often is the beauty of a sunset, the beauty of space, the beauty of something that God has created. We don't sit and marvel over a computer terminal or something that man has made. We marvel about the things of God because they are wondrous in every way. Years ago, my son asked me to help him, teach him how to garden, how to make a vegetable garden. I'd forgotten the enjoyment because it had been several years since I had one. I could remember the bugs and the weeds, the sweat, all that kind of stuff. But I was reminded when I helped him learn how to do this about the joy of feeling dirt in your hands and seeing the seeds sprout and seeing the fruit come in the baskets. There's something wonderful about God's creation. And as much as we can, not all of us can, we may be in a situation in which we're in a high-rise apartment and we don't get much. We can plant something on the back patio or something in which we have some type of contact. There's so many great lessons to learn from this wonderful creation that God has made around us.
Well, one point you get at there, Jeff, is with respect to work or labor. A lot of people look at that and say, well, work is a necessary evil because I have to do these things to be able to support a family or have the things I want in life. But work was never intended to be something that God bestowed upon man as a punishment. When Adam was put in the garden, God told him before he ever sinned, work it and keep it. So he had responsibilities.
And that was before sin.
That's right.
It wasn't a punishment.
Those responsibilities and that work brought joy to Adam's life. And once Eve was there, it brought joy to her life as well.
Let me suggest that Paul's statement in Acts chapter 20, where he said it is more blessed to give than to receive, comes into this. It's a basic principle of our nature as beings created in God's image. We were meant to be happy as giving, productive beings, to have a purpose and to supply something that contributes to society in some way, big or small, is an important part of our happiness.
Some people in the world today would say, you recognize, we say there's two kinds of people in the world, givers and takers. And people say, well, I want to be one of the takers. I want to be one of the ones that everybody's given things to. But the Bible gives the clear idea, you mentioned the passage in Acts chapter 20, where Jesus says, more blessed to give than receive, that being a giver is actually a more blessed, a happier circumstance than one who is simply a taker or a receiver of blessings in life.
The studies have shown that givers tend to be happier and more well-adjusted than takers. You know, the ability to work effectively and make a productive contribution is a major component of self-esteem. Parents who try to build self-esteem in their children by constantly praising them without teaching them the meaning of work are defeating their goal. The trophy must truly mean something before it builds self-respect. So when a child has actually accomplished something or made the world better in some small way, as children can, then they can have a wonderful feeling. It says in Ecclesiastes 5 that the sleep of a laboring man is sweet.
Very good. Let's move on to another subject. This would be another topic here with regard to what we might learn from Adam and Eve and the ideas with respect to happiness or contentment in life. Some people look at this idea, and it's the idea of government or law or guiding principles, as something that constrains me. It keeps me from doing the things that I want. But we understand, and God's Word clearly teaches, that government is essential in the moral realm.
Yeah, Jeremiah 10 and verse 23 says that it is not in man who walks to direct his steps. Societies, citizens in a government need some laws, some constraints sometimes, discipline, control, boundaries. These are not bad words. Powerful forces have to be harnessed and directed. The fire needs to be kept in the boiler, so to speak. And God's law is good in that.
Psalmist says in Psalms chapter 19 with regard to this, of course, this brings to mind to us and to many others who might be listening some beautiful songs that we sing that even use these words. Beginning verse 7, the law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The rules of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, even much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and drippings of the honeycomb. The direction for our lives, the if you will, and sometimes you hear it in today's vernacular, the bumpers on the side, the guardrails of life actually are there for our benefit and for our happiness. Because God understands, as you quoted the passage from Jeremiah, that if we're left to ourselves, we're going to be running off the road all the time. Self-destruction is built into man almost because of our tendency to desire to sin. And God has given us these directives to keep our lives from going out of control like that.
And to some degree, it is a matter of faith, because there are times when each of us doesn't understand quite the wisdom in God's commands. And sometimes it is afterwards, maybe years later, before we come to appreciate the wisdom.
Let's take a break. We'll be back right after this. Glad you've joined us for Bible Truth for Living today. We hope the things that we have discussed will be of encouragement and benefit to you. This program, Bible Truth for Living podcast, is sponsored by the River City Church in Columbus, Georgia. We are a fellowship of Christians who belong to Jesus Christ, our Savior. Nothing more and nothing less. We worship regularly at our meeting place located at 3900 River Road in Columbus. You'd be welcome at any of our services, Sundays at 9:30 a.m. and 5 p.m., and Wednesday nights at 7 p.m., where we seek to worship and glorify God and to study from His Word. We invite you to visit the Bible Truth for Living website. That's BibleTruthForLiving, all one word, .com. There's more information there, articles, videos, and other resources designed to present the simple truth of God's Word. You can contact us via the website with your comments, questions, or topics that you'd like us to discuss in this podcast. We plan to produce and publish this program on a regular basis, and all the podcasts will be available on our website. Now back to our program. We're back, and we've been talking, a very interesting discussion here in today's podcast, about things we can learn from Adam and Eve about happiness in this life.
So a good way to end this idea is, what do you think it would take to make you completely happy? Admittedly, happiness is not really our first priority, but in its proper place, what would true happiness in this world require in your mind? That's something for us to think about, because too often we answer that question in terms of things that were totally absent from Garden of Eden, the only environment in history where there was perfect happiness, albeit briefly. As amazing as it seems, there was no money, no mall, and no MasterCards. it begins to look as if the more important things really are to our happiness, the less time we devote to them. We need to sometimes recognize we spend 98% of our time on things that are 2% important to our happiness. What are we teaching our children? Not by our words, but by our actions, about where happiness comes from. What values are we giving them? What legacy are we leaving? We need to spend our time getting back to the precious life God has given us. And I think passages like this, couples like this in the Old Testament and initial stages of the Bible teach us a lot about what it takes to be happy.
Reminded of some of the, even today in our culture, there's a recognition of this, even if there's not a commitment to this kind of behavior. You know, I think about one of the more popular advertisements we see is where a person is gaining many significant material things and a price is applied to all of them. But then there's some event or circumstance that's the last one, and usually it involves a relationship with another, a contentment in life, a happiness that comes from something that you can't buy. And the slogan is, this is priceless. Mm-hmm. We can't put a price on that. If only we could stop at times and recognize the things that really are priceless instead of trying to determine how much everything costs. As the saying goes, we know the cost of everything, we know the value of almost nothing. So, great thoughts today, Jeff. Appreciate you being with us. We're glad that you joined us for this edition of Bible Truth for Living, and we hope that you'll join us for future podcasts. Good afternoon.